right, so yesterday we did the question, right? Rav's question for the Rebbe. So his answer was that what? That Akiras Guf is Kakiras Chepetz Mimakomo. Right? It is the same. It is the same. So, but that, but the question is, the question is from the Mishnah then. Right? Which case? He says it's not similar to the case in the Mishnah of the Yad. Which case is it would be, is a question on saying Akiras Gufo is Akiras Chepetz Mimakomo Dami. So let's see, so which case does Rashi have? Liyodo, it's not Dome, to what? Liyodo Hapshuta Lefnim. V'Gufo Lechutz. Okay. V'Noson Balabayas Lesocha. Depoter Beitana de Masnisim. Afla'ani Shahutziya. So that case seems to be a contradiction to Rebbe. Because Rebbe saying Akiras Gufo is Akiras Chepetz Mimakomo Dami. And this case is what? That the Balabayas puts it in the Ani's hand. Right? And what? And now the Ani moves his hand. Correct? And takes it outside. So why aren't you feeling better today, Ken?
A little bit.
Okay. Where's Michael? Go in. Come. So why don't you say that what? Why don't you say when the Ani moves his hand, that's like an Akira, that's like Akira's Chepetz Mimakomo. And then he has an Akira from the Rishus Yachid, and when he takes it outside and stops, that's Hanocha. Right? That's Hanocha. So why is it not the same? So there's two answers, right? So we want to start with Rashi? Start with Rashi first? Hello?
Tosos.
Tosos. So Tosos learns that what? He says, "Lo dummy, ain't no dummy liado. My timer. Yodo de bossa gufo guerrera boy akira." Right? Gufo lo boy akira.
Gufo lo boy akira. Gufo does have akira.
Doesn't need... Boy. What?
Boy, right? Require.
What is it? Yeah, that's a Reina Chananel's Gersha? Where's Reina Chananel? Yeah. That's Rabbeinu Chananel's Gersa. My taima yada lo nifa lo naifa bosa gufa gvira. Okay. Yeah, so what does that mean? So you're saying that what? That when the Ani's hand is inside and his guf is outside, so why is it not... And the Ani and the Balabais puts the object in his hand, correct? The Balabais puts it in his hand and then he removes it. So that's not considered an Akira. He would need to do a real Akira in order to be a Chayev. right? The Ani would have to really physically pick it up from inside. Just moving it is not enough, right? Why? Because his hand is dragged after his body. But the body itself is enough just to walk. The body itself, you don't have to do a real physical ma'isa, right? It's enough, if it's on the body, it's enough to just to walk out. That's considered an akira. But what's the svara? What's the svara? What does it mean? The yad is basar gufo gerera. And also, when the guf and the yad are together, right? Then what? Then you don't need an akira again, right? Okay, so you have a svara for this?
Well, you just said that when the guf and the yad are together.
No, this is only when the guf and the yad are separated, right? that this problem arises. Okay, Levi, what do you have to say?
I just realized there's a problem with that.
Sorry?
I just realized there's a problem with that. I don't think it makes sense.
That could be a problem.
When you say when the guf and yad are together, there's no problem, right?
That's right.
Right, that's our first case.
That's our first case. He takes it for, right.
So when he puts his hand out, let me just think of that question.
All right, so what's the svar over here? Yeah.
The explanation we came up with, we were trying to answer the problem of that even Tosu is going to have to admit that there's a difference between, you know, when his yad and his guf are in different places, because you don't say that the ball of bias is high up or hanachah when he puts it in the
right
in the Ani's hand inside.
Right.
So we thought that really, like, in a normal case, when the ball of bias puts it in the hand of the Ani and the Ani's outside, really there's two things at work there to say that it's like the ball of bias was meiniach in brishus harav.
Well, I'm sorry, I lost the case. But which case?
Where the Ani's standing outside and his hand is outside and the ball of bias puts it in his hand. It's a classic case of Hosah.
Classic.
Yeah. So we're saying really there are two things that work there. One is that the yad has to be in the space of Rishus Rabbim. But also it's the principle of Yado Basar Gufo Gera. It says that the yad is now mitzurah to the karka of Rishus Rabbim. So the thing is, right, so really you have two things. It's not, right,
Okay, let's stop for a minute. No, you all looked at that Rambam, right, in the Pirush Shnayos. So like you're saying, I mean, I think there are two requirements, right? In other words, the Rambam raises the question, and the Gemara talks about it later, that, you need the object to be in a makom dalet al dalet, right? That's one of the basic requirements of hotzah and of akira and hanacha, that you're okay from a makom dalet al dalet, you're meniach in a makom dalet al dalet, right? So how does the yad work over here? How's the yad? How is there any akira and hanacha from and into a yad?
It has the same properties as makom dalet al dalet.
So it has the same properties as makom dalet al dalet. So what is the property of a makom dalet al dalet?
Divine or nachim there.
So it gives the quality of at rest. Okay. In other words, the object is considered. The object has to be at rest in a rishus. Right. It's not enough to be in the rishus. And it's not enough to be at rest. In order to be chayav for hotzah, it has to have gone from a state of being at rest in one rishus, right, into being at rest in the next rishus. Okay? So the definition of a makom is that which is capable of, is that which an object is capable of being at rest in. And that will define the makom as roi for an akira and anacha, right? Okay, so the yad will give the object the quality of being at rest, right? The yad will give the quality of being at rest. It's a stable environment, But the question is, where is that rest? Right? It's not enough that it's at rest. It has to be at rest in Rishus HaRabim or Rishus Yachid, and to be moved to the other Rishus. Right? So really, we have a question of, there's always two questions. Is it at rest? And what Rishus is it at rest in? Right? Okay. So the Yad, the qualities of the finger, as the Rambam describes, the qualities of the finger are capable of saying that the object is stopped. The object is at rest. Right? It's not in danger of falling. But where is it at rest? Okay? Am I leading into you over here?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, so you want to say, where is it at rest?
So I'm saying that really, really, even by Yah, there's a requirement that you physically have to look, you have to consider which Rishus the Yad is actually in.
Okay.
And then what the principle of Yado Basar Gufo Graver does is it says that the object's existence in his hand, it can now be mitzuruf to the karka of that Rishus. So the thing is, when the Ani's standing outside and he sticks his hand in, the reason why he can't do that the Baal Bias is doing Hanacha Rishus HaRavim is because the space within which his hand is in is Rishus HaYachid. Right? So you can't say that Yado Basar Gufo Gera is going to be realizing the existence of the thing in his hand as being mitzuruf to the karka of Rishus HaRavim, because you first have to start out by having the hand being defined.
So it's not really a problem of Yado Basar Gufo Gera. It's not really the problem, right?
And Tosfos should just say it's not in Rishus HaRavim. Not that Yado Basar Gufo Gera.
So where does
but then Tosfos holds that the idea that the hand is not at rest is in line with this idea of Yado Basar Gufo Gera, right? Of course, you could say the hand is not at rest. Why? Because Yado Basar Gufo Gera. Yado Basar Gufo Gera. Yeah. See, should I tell you what I think over here?
Yeah.
Okay. What does Yado Basar Gufo Gera mean? What's its significance? What is it expressing? In the pshat in the Gemara, it's really coming to tell you. It's not coming to tell you how you're chayav. It's coming to tell you why you're not chayav. Just in terms of what the Gemara is using that answer for. Yado Basar Gufo Gera is not telling you that's why you're chayav. I mean, this is almost too obvious, but I just think we have to focus on this point. It's telling you why is it that when the Ani's hand is inside, it's not considered that the object is in the Rishus HaYachid. Why is the object not considered in Rishus HaYachid when it is stable in the Rishus HaYachid? Right? It's Munach. It's Munach. It's in his hand. That's Munach. And it's surrounded by Rishus HaYachid. So why is it not considered at rest in Rishus HaYachid? That's the question. Why is the hand in the Rishus HaYachid not like the man standing in the Rishus HaYachid? The man standing in the Rishus HaYachid, the object is considered in the Rishus HaYachid. Right? But the hand, stable, the hand in the Rishus HaYachid, doesn't give the object the shame Munach in Rishus HaYachid. Okay? Are you guys hearing me? I know there's a danger.
Can you say it again?
There's a danger in this type of a shir that you're just hearing like the word Rishus HaYachid over and over again. You don't really, like, just so many certain words get repeated too many times.
They
just sound like they're just fusing together into one long stream of Munach, Rishus HaYachid. You gotta really concentrate. Okay? But it's like a danger. I want to explain it fully, but I know the more I say it, the more danger I'm in of just blurring everything into one long, right? Okay. So the question that the Gemara is trying, the question Rebbe is answering is this. Okay? If the man is standing inside the house and the object is on his back, where is the object? The object is munach in Rishus Yachid. Right? Now when he moves, what happens to the object? It's an akira from Rishus Yachid. Okay? Now, why is it not the same that when the man's hand is in the Rishus Yachid and the object is in it, that the object is not considered munach in Rishus Yachid, just like on the man's back?
Even though it is munach and it is
even
in
though it is munach and the hand is in Rishus Yachid. That's the essential question. Right? And what's the answer to that question? That the hand is nigrar after the guf. Now what does that, and therefore, generously, Tosus gives a little more explanation. Therefore, you could say it's like the hand is not at rest. Right? Yodolonayach. That's a consistent idea with Yad Basar Gufo Gor.
He's saying that's what Yodolonayach in the Gemara means.
If you have that girsa, it would be together with this girsa to be a fuller explanation.
It's not at rest there.
What's the problem? Why is the object not at rest? So we can answer the question. Why is the object not at rest?
Because you don't call something in the hand at rest.
No.
Your hand follows your guf.
And therefore?
The hand is not at rest.
The hand is not at rest. Why is the object not at rest? Because the hand is not at rest. Why is the hand not at rest? Because the hand goes after the body.
How's that different from saying like that which is in the hand is not at rest?
Because that's a conclusion. You're giving me the conclusion. I know that which is in the hand is not at rest over here. I want to know why.
Why does that mean?
It's because the hand itself is not at rest. Mm-hmm. Not that the thing is not resting in the hand. Your way of saying it could be many reasons.
How is the hand not at rest?
Oh, that's the question. So how is the hand not at rest? How is the hand not at rest? So what does Yodo Basagufo Gorier mean to say? It means to say that you cannot say... Okay, we go with a little negative first. You cannot say what? You cannot say that the hand and the body can be considered equal entities. Equal autonomous entities. You can't say, well, there's the place of the body and there's the place of the hand.
Because otherwise the hand would be at rest.
Otherwise the hand would be at rest. Or at least otherwise we'd be venturing into Rashi's territory. Right? So, Yodo Bosa Gufo Gorier means to say that you cannot look at the hand without reference to the body. Right? You can't just say, well, I'll look at the hand. What's the problem? The hand is in the Rishus Yachid. The hand's not moving. So therefore, the object is resting in Rishus. No, the problem is, where is that hand attached to? The hand is not just a hand. The hand is attached to a body. Okay? But what does that mean? So what does that mean about the hand? What does that really mean? It means to say, in a positive sense, it means to say the hand cannot have its own place. The hand doesn't have its own independent place. Okay?
So it would be meaningless to speak of the hand in where the hand is, because there's no such thing as a hand being anywhere.
So the hand has to be... The hand... But the hand is here, and it's not... So what does it mean? How do we view the hand? We view the hand as... In other words, when the hand is in one rishus and the body is in the other rishus, what do we say about the hand? We say it's out of place. We say the hand is out of place.
If the state of the hand is totally on the guf, then why not just say that the hand is the same state as the guf?
Ah, that's what I just answered. The hand is here. It is here. But how is it here? In a temporary way. Right? We cannot deny that the hand is in this rishus. Correct? But is it munach in this rishus? Is it here in a permanent way? No. It's here in a temporary way. Correct?
So so close to come back to the body.
Exactly. Because which follows which? Mm-hmm. The body. Exactly. The body doesn't follow the hand. The hand follows the body. So then I would say the body is in place and the hand is out of the place. So it's sofo lachzor. The hand is on its, you could say almost the hand is on its way back. Okay? All of these things are leading to one conclusion, that the hand cannot be considered at rest. And therefore, no object can be related to the rishus that the hand is in, because the hand itself is not really completely in that rishus. It's only temporarily here. Okay? In other words, right? It's only temporarily here. But if the hand and the body are together, then there's no problem. Then there's no problem. There's no lack in the shame of the makom of the hand. So that's what it means. Yodo bosar gufo gorier, and therefore you can't say that the hand and the body have different residences. So one is in its residence and one is out of its residence. One is in its place and one is out of its place. But if it's out of its place, that means it means it's not munach. Munach means that it is 100%. Munach means that it relates to its place completely. Now it doesn't mean nothing can't be moved, but it would require a completely external force to move it. Right? But here there's something intrinsically that's going to demand that it move in its very nature. It's like building on sand, right? You build a house on sand, it's not a binyan shel kayama, because it's intrinsically the foundation is shifting. But if I build a house on granite, doesn't mean you can't knock it down. Of course you can. But one's demise was built into its very creation, right? And one's was external. So we call one permanent and one temporary. Permanent and temporary doesn't mean how long they're actually going to last, right? Because there are always external forces of destruction. You can't guarantee nothing's going to knock it down. But permanent or temporary goes by the creation of the thing. Is this given with all of its need to last? Yes. Is this created that it cannot last? So the hand, since the hand is basar gufo gorier, it cannot be ever considered really in the rishus hayachid completely. The subsequent motion of the hand towards the body is necessary. It's intrinsically required. As opposed to a guy who's standing in Rosh Hashanah Yachid and decides to leave. While he's standing there, he's here permanently. There's nothing intrinsically that makes him gonna have to leave. So when he gets up, he's changing the prior state. When the man is standing in his house, there's nothing in that situation that requires he leave the house. In terms of, right? So when he stands up, when he walks, that's his Akira. But the hand, you can't say that. Because the hand had to go back to the body. So it never was at rest to begin with. It was never put here. Because it's like a train on a stop. It's just taking a stop to refuel. It's not really here. You put it on the train and the train takes off, you shouldn't be surprised.
That's also why it won't be on the train.
That's why there's a halacha like that also. I don't know if you noticed, but when Tosus before said when you stop lofush. Right? Did you notice that word?
Yeah.
What does that word mean? Because that's one of the halachas that since we hold akiras guf is ka nocha is ka akiras chayfetz mimukomo and hanochas guf is ka nochas chayfetz mimukomo. But there's one requirement. It has to be that you're stopping because you want to stop. But if you're carrying a backpack and the weight is shifted and you stop to adjust the weight, that's not called a hanocha. Because you're not really stopping. You're really facilitating. You're walking. Okay. So even stopping is not really anacha. You have to know why you're stopping. If it's a stop so that you can adjust the backpack and keep going, that's not called a stop. That's called That's called derech halicha, exactly.
Right,
but stopping lofush, that means you want to rest.
What do you mean? It could be stopped because of an external force that makes you stop.
No, it doesn't matter. That's stopping.
That's stopping.
It has to be in terms of the carrying. Okay. If it's something in the carrying that makes you stop to carry it more, that's not called stopping.
So a crosswalk would work as an external force.
That's a good question. I don't know. Yes?
In terms of the object not being really permanently munach at his hand, that's why we're saying his hand doesn't mean anything here. How about when his hand is in the same space as he is? Could you say that there's ever a case where something is munach in his hand?
Yes. Yes, because then he relates to that rishus. That hand is in this rishus. It doesn't have to be. I don't care if it's here in the rishus or here in the rishus. The hand
the
is in
the fact that
rishus.
It is in the other rishus is what makes it an impermanent.
That's
thing.
Right. In terms of that rishus, it's not permanent.
Right.
That's why yodo baser gufo gorier. That's what's going to prevent the shame hanacha here. It's not a necessary idea to make you chayav. Right?
It just removes the quality of...
It removes the quality of the yad being in the rishus that's different from the body. Cannot be. It's not possible. But I don't care if it's here in rishus harabim or here in rishus harabim. The yad is fully in rishus harabim. Or rishus yavim. But it turns out a strange thing from this. Yes?
If a guy was standing in the Rishus Yachid and picked up something from the Rishus Harabim and brought it in.
But that's a real Akiva. That's not, we don't need to rely, we don't need his hand to be a makom. His hand is purely a transporter, right? This whole problem is when the hand has to be the makom. Were you saying something?
I was just saying this concept of the yado basar gufo gari is like the opposite of the example you always bring in with the ink on the paper, because there, even though you're in transit, then since it intrinsically relates to the
But I only brought in twice. But yeah, anyway.
So why does he have to put it down afterwards?
Oh, so Tosis holds he doesn't have to bring put it down, right? Tosis holds he doesn't have to put it down.
This is why when the Balabais puts it in the hand of the Ani, it's not like he's doing a hanacha in the Rishus Harabim.
Correct.
We don't call the hand actually being in the
Rishus Harabim. Exactly. But now it turns out, yes?
Yeah, so the first case again, so it would be a Akira because he's picking it up, actually.
As when he stand,
to
when it's on
case.
His body, you mean?
No.
Oh, with the hand. Yeah, because it's munach in the Balabais' hand.
When he's putting his hand, that's why it's not a makom.
That's right. That's why it's not considered in this right. It's not going to relate to the makom that it's in because it's only there intrinsically. It's there on a temporary basis. Now, but if you think about it carefully, it turns out that the question that we started with, how is the object considered munach in the rishus that the hand is in?
In which situation?
In the case where you're chayev. Right? In other words, when we say the hand is related to the rishus, in other words, when the object is in the hand in the full sense of the word, right? In the place. When it's in the balabai's hand, let's say. Right? And the Balabais' hand is inside the house. And the Ani takes it out of the hand. Straight case. How is it... So we said that there's two things. It has to be munach, and it has to be munach in the rishus. Right? So when the Balabais is holding the object in his house, we say the object is munach in the rishus ayachid. How does it get that shame of munach in rishus ayachid?
Why shouldn't it? The hand is...
No, how? I want to know how. Oh, wait, what'd you say?
The hand is connected to the body, and the body is in the Rishus Yachid, and the hand is operating in the Rishus Yachid.
Okay, so that, but I want to know, I want to really know specifically.
It's not between the yad and the guf in that case.
Huh?
The yad is kaguvo?
In other words, there's two ways to look at it, right? Is it, I think like you're saying, that the hand is sort of like an electricity kind of a phenomenon. Right? Right?
I don't know where you're going with
analogy, but it's like grounded. You're grounded. The object is grounded through your hand.
Your body or through your head?
Through your body.
Okay.
Right? The hand, it's like an electric current has to go. It's like an electric current has to go from the object to the ground. Somehow it has to reach the ground. Right? The object, if a bolt of electricity hits your hand and it grounded itself in the same resistance as the object, then you're in good shape. Right? That would be the test. It would be the electricity test.
Bit of an extreme test.
I like to leave a good seer, a good visual.
It's your imagination for sparks.
So, that's one way to look at it. But that would be saying Yada Basa Gufa Gorir is like a cause of why you're chayav. That would be saying that Yada Basa Gufa Gorir is a function of how the object is considered munach.
And you don't want to say that just because that's not the Gemara. When the Gemara brings it in, it's just using to explain why you're not.
That's using to explain why not. And not only is it.
Create a problem also.
It would also create a problem. That would be the question of what's the hand inside, right? Why isn't the hand inside like Professor Rabin? So it comes out, I think you have to say this if you really think about it carefully, that according to Tosfos, when the object is in your hand, it's munach directly through the hand.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to saying that the hand is then attached to the arm, which is attached to the shoulder, which is attached to the torso, which is attached to your foot, which is on the ground.
The yad just has to be in its place.
Like exactly. Right. Of course, the psul is that the hand is not in its place. That's the psul according to Tosos. The hand is not munach in its place. But if the hand were in its place, the object would be in that rishus. You don't have to look any further. The problem of the hand being apart from the body is not that it can't be grounded in the rishus of the body because it's grounded through the body.
It can't be covered out here.
The problem is that the hand is not at rest. But if the hand were at rest, we wouldn't have to look for the body. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But now, if you look at Rashi is saying the opposite. Right? Rashi is saying, why is the object not at rest in the Rishus HaYachid? Because the hand is not on the floor. But when it's on his body, the body is on the floor. Therefore, the hand's on the floor too. But, you understand what I'm saying? In other words, since we've gotten this far in Tosfos, and if you really work Tosfos out till its end, I think it comes out that according to Tosfos, how the object relates to the Rishus via the hand is a direct relationship. The hand is almost like a separate, like a different entity. For the guf is one entity, the hand is another entity. The guf is munach on the ground, and the hand is not munach on the ground. But the hand can be in its place or out of its place. It's like a separate entity that always follows a larger entity. Right? So its place is defined by the larger entity. But it's still separate. Right?
Yeah.
So as long as the yad is in its place, and something is in the yad, the object will be considered in the place of the yad. Right? Whereas Rashi seems to be saying, and therefore when the Gemara says that in the house the object is not munach, it's not because it's not connected to something on the ground in this Rishus. It never has to be connected to something on the ground in this Rishus. The real problem is that the thing that it's in is not at rest. Whereas Rashi says, what's the problem? That the thing that it's on is not on the ground. You understand? You see the chiluk?
Say one more time.
But isn't the resting of the hand, and isn't the resting of the hand on the goof?
No.
It's not.
It's not on the goof. It's just determined by the... Its place is determined by the goof.
Right.
Its place is determined by the goof. But as long as it's in its place, the object can be considered in the place of the hand. Because the object is always considered in the place of the hand. But the hand has to be in its place. That's the only requirement. That's the only thing Tosis asks of you, is the hand be in its place. If the hand's in its place, everything is fine. But Rashi is not satisfied with that. Right? Rashi says, no. He says the problem is that when the hand is apart from the goof, as long as the hand is together with the goof, then what? Then it's all connected to the ground. Right? Mm-hmm. But when the hand is apart from the goof, now the hand is not on the ground in its own rishus. And apparently it can't use the body because the body is separated from it. So now the hand is not munach anywhere on the ground.
Let's put the hand on the ground to be chayav.
Oh, so that's what the Ritva says. So the Ritva says, did you see the river? The Ritva says, you have the Ritva?
Yeah.
I just saw something. See, the Ritva says, Boy Yado Shel Adam. Where's the Ritva? Oh, you have a different gear set.
Top right.
Top right, okay. I was looking at a different dock. So he says, Pirush Rashi, the Lo Garcin and Yodo Basagufo Guerrero, Vyaserti, Vain Sorach Limchok. No, it's not.
Is that the right version?
That's not the right one. Where's the old, the other Ritva? Without the footnotes? You have the one without the footnotes here?
Here we get it.
Don't we have one here?
Yeah, anywhere.
No, Yipsi, the other non-Masada.
I'm curious if they have a different
gear. Yeah, those rivers, some of those rivers have completely different rivers, right? I've seen
them. Yeah. I don't
know what I can say. Completely different.
What was this?
I don't know what that was.
Could be the prior paragraph. I don't think so. It doesn't look familiar. I can't foresee what the costume is going to be of a table treasure. How is people so where? Hand is in a temporary.
Because it's with the same place as the body. Right. Because it has the same place. Right. Okay. Make it quicker. Sweet. Thank you. So Rashi's break, as far as the hand can't be, that's a good question. Meaning that the yad is functioning.
That's a good question.
Separate from the other?
That's the hard part of going to Rashi. That's the hard part of going to Rashi. No, because according to Tosos, Yado Basagufo Gorier always is true. It's always 100% true. Right? Sometimes it matters and sometimes it doesn't matter. But according to Rashi, it's almost like the Yad is viewed differently when it's in a different Rishus than the body than when it's in the same Rishus. The whole definition of the hand is going to depend on what is that? It's fine. Okay. That's fine. Let's see.
Can you read the novel?
I can even read the old Minchas Chinuch, you know? Okay.
Yeshiva aerobics.
One man.
Is one better?
One thing.
Same one?
Same one.
Oh, that was good.
Show them what they want.
He says like this.
Over there. I'm one of those guys that like.
He says like this. He says like this. He says, "Ovo Rashi zalo goris ela yodo lo noch gufo noch." Right, Rashi is only goris that part. Upiresh di yodo lo nayich al gabi karka. That's Rashi's Pirush, right? Mm-hmm. That the hand is not resting on the ground. Rashi doesn't literally say that. Right. It's just in comparison to Guf, you can infer that, right? Umishum hachi pata. Vim tomar. Im kain. Right. Listen. Im kain. Af bishinosan ha'ani l'soch yado shel bal habayis. He asks us this question on Rashi. If when the ani puts it in the Baal HaBayis' hand, right? Oh, she notal mimena v'hotzi hei pater. Shere lo okra lo hanicha bekarka diyada lo naicha. So, if Rashi is really saying that a hand is simply not at rest, and a hand is always considered a separate entity, but that entity has to be on the ground, right? So, what's the difference if it's in the same rishus as the body or not? Yesh lomar kevan dehasam yado v'gufo b'rishus achas, right? Like you were saying, Michael. Kevan de gufo nayach al gabi karka af yado kimun neches. But it's through the guf that is considered on the karka. For some reason, I mean, this is a sticky point.
But only if it's in the same rishus.
Only if it's in the same rishus. Aval hecha de gufo b'rishus acher ein yado ba'oso rishus acher kimun nachas. So in the other rishus, you can't call that hand at rest. Right? Ulufi girsa zu, Efshar, he says, She'im hi niach yodo bikarko. Vinosan balabayas lesocha v'hotzi ha'oni chayev. So he says, it's possible to say, according to Rashi, if the ani were to rest his hand on the ground, and the balabayas put the object in the ani's hand, on the ground, and then the ani takes his hand back, he would be chayv. Because now the hand's on the ground. But it's an efsha. So if we can figure out why that's a suffix to him.
The ritual we read there was it's time to first, we'll it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, because he's go-race, the other Rashi. I got very scared when I read this ritual. Because he says, Pirush Rashi's out. Lo garsini yada basa gufa gira di yaser tahi. That made me very nervous.
This is the intro.
Right? Because that would mean he's really learning like Tosos.
Right. I know, because he ends up learning the same thing we just said, except that he holds that extra girsa is to teach you exactly that even if it's on the ground, lo kimul tfach, it doesn't matter. You just don't make a fillet there.
But that's a different. No, that's Tosos Shita. He says, "Ulufi girsas Rabbeinu Chananel ain't a davar kain. Ela afilu hiniach yado bekarka pater. The kevan the yado basagufo gorera afkin kishinicha bekarka ain't no kemotzi mirshus yachal mirshus rabim." He says, but according to Tosfos, right, which is Rabbeinu Chananel, even though the hand is resting on the floor inside the house, it's still not in its place.
Right.
According to Rashi. See, that's what I'm trying to show you. Yeah. According to Rashi, the hand inside the house is a separate entity, right? But the problem is it's not munach because it's like a dismembered hand. And it's floating. It's floating. Is that too graphic for you?
Better than eating your own teeth.
You can. But no. All right. It has to be only when it's mouth. But anyway, but the problem is this arm that's separated from the body is not on the ground, right?
But then you're forcing.
But if the arm is on the floor, then it would be fine. Then it's Efsha Ibi Chayev according to Rashi, right? But Tosfos doesn't say the problem is that the arm is not on the ground. It never has to be on the ground. Nothing has to be on the ground. Things have to be in their place. The problem is the hand is intrinsically out of its place. Doesn't matter if it's on the ground or 5 feet above the ground. It's lack of makom is not because it's off the ground. It's lack of makom is because it's away from its body. But according to Rashi, its lack of makom is because it's not on the ground. You understand?
Right. So we have to understand
it's
that why.
The question is, it a vertical problem or a horizontal problem?
Right?
Right?
Vertical is ground, horizontal is the body.
Exactly.
Exactly. But so now we have to understand why it's Epshar then, just because according to the way we've been learning it so far, then it should be Vada.
Right.
Right.
But we're going to forget about this for a minute. We're going to just try to understand it on our own, and we'll see if it comes out Epshar or not. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now. Right. And then it just brings in a separate problem, which we don't have to worry about now. Okay. Yeah. So give me just let me just get my bearings here again. Hold on. Yeah. So now, can we explain fully, a little more fully, what the Ritva is, how the Ritva is answering the main question on Rashi? And it comes out completely. It's an interesting thing, huh? If you think about it, take a step back for a minute. It's exactly the opposite from the first way we thought it. Right?
Yeah.
Because we all thought that Tosis is saying that the body, that the hand goes through the body.
Right.
And that was a problem, so why isn't it like it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim when right. he... now it's that problem has disappeared. But now the problem falls on Rashi.
Yeah.
Right? If the hand normally is munach through the guf, right? If the hand is normally munach via the guf, So then what? So then, the problem is the Ritva puts the problem the opposite way, right? That if when the hand is in the other Rishus, it's the object's not munach because the hand is not on the ground, so then the hand should always have to be on the ground, right? That's the question. How come when the hand is outside of the Rishus of the body, in our case, we say the object is not at rest because the hand is not on the ground? That implies that the hand and the body are like separate objects. And they each have to have a din of hanacha on their own. So the body has the hanacha through the feet. But where does the guf have, where does the yad have the hanacha? Right? Correct? Licht. Rashi is saying that the hand is not at rest on the ground. That's the problem. Right?
So we're going to
one second.
The question.
That the hand is not at rest on the ground. That's what Rashi says. Right? So then the Ritva's question is, so even when the hand is together with the body, it's also not on the ground. So how come when the Baal HaBayis is holding the object in his hand, in his house, and the Ani takes it from his hand?
If it's really two separate things, you mean?
If the hand is not on the ground, the hand's not on the ground in that case either. So how come it's considered that he's okir from Rosh HaSayachid? So the Ritva has to say the only thing that's possible to say. And that is that there's a difference when the hand is together in the same Rishus or where it's separate from the Rishus. But that seems like an artificial chiluk. That seems like Hilchos Shabbos is creating differences in what a hand is. It just seems strange.
Can you say one more time what Rashi's consideration of the hand? It's a completely separate thing, and it's seen by what?
Because he's saying that the problem is that the hand, when it's in the Rishus HaYachid, apart from the body,
mm-hmm.
the hand is not munach on the ground.
Right.
So that means to say that the problem is that we judge the hand on its own, but that thing that we're judging is not resting. But normally, that means to say that how does the object get the shame of the rishus that it's on?
Connection to the ground.
Because it's physically on the ground. Because it's on something that's physically on the ground. Right? And the problem with the hand is it's not physically on the ground. If you put it on the guy's shoulders, it's physically connected to the ground. Right? But when his hand is in Rosh Hashanah Yachid and his body is out, Rashi's saying you view the hand like a separate thing, right? And that thing is not on the ground. Right?
Right, so then why is it not the same?
So then how come when the hand is together with the body, you don't say the same thing? It's his same hand, it's still his hand. Right? Okay. Zoldan, you were starting to give an answer to that.
Well,
yeah, you were telling me what's the difference from the hand is in the different rishus.
Yeah, no, I was saying that it looks like the thing is that the hand is functioning in the other rishus. That meaning it's functioning in a rishus that it in no way relates to physically. And it's physically connected to a rishus that it in no way functions in.
Hmm?
Well, that's
okay.
It's not functioning in the rishus of Rabban, which is connected to.
Which is no way physically connected to. But then
no, which it is connected to.
It is physically connected to.
But it's functioning in the rishus of Yachid,
which it is no way connected to.
Physically.
But what we said yesterday is true, and that is that how does Rashi learn the Gemara Yodolo Nayach? Right? What does it mean Yodolo Nayach? Gufo Nayach? It must be that he learns. How come that Gemara is not a problem with the case of with the Baal Bayis's hand in his own Rishus, right? Because it must be that he's learning it's not called Yodo when it's in the same Rishus as the Guf. Right? It was Yodo Lo Nayach, that's when the Yad is separate. That's called a Yad. But when it's together with the Guf, you don't break up every part of the body and give it a name. It's all considered Guf. Right. Just Pshat-wise, right? Yeah. Pshat-wise, it doesn't have to say Yodo Lo Nayach when the Yad is separate. It's not like an exception to the rule. Yodo is always Lo Nayach.
Right.
The only thing is, it doesn't have a separate shame of Yad when it's together with the Guf. Right? I mean, we still have to explain why, but in terms of Pshat, that's how that's what I would say. Let me see if I can express a certain idea here. So Rashi says that the Guf is on the ground, right? The Guf, he says, is what? Al Gabi Karka. Gufo Nayach Al Gabi Karka. Right? Gufo Nayach Al Gabi Karka. Gufo Nayach Al Gabi Karka. But the hand is not noch. Okay. I think what Rashi is saying is like this. That part of a guf, one of the necessary elements of a guf, is a place. It's a requirement of a guf. Or it's a need of a guf. There's a place. Part of how the guf works is it has to be somewhere first. Okay? So the very idea of guf, a guf has to have a place. Okay? A guf has to have a place. In order for it to function, it has to be able to have a place. I don't want to get too philosophical, but it's an obvious thing, all right. But the hand is different. The hand doesn't need a place to be on in order for the hand to function. In other words, the function of the hand is different than the goof.
What makes you say that?
The
hand does stuff. It's a totally different type of a thing.
Doing stuff doesn't have to involve a place.
So doesn't have to be at rest in a place.
So you're saying that this thing applies only to the hand? Yeah. Meaning like if I were to lean my head into a different rishus and someone were to load it up with something and then I pulled it back, that wouldn't be the case because this is a din in hand.
Yeah. Then you'd be using your head like a hand.
The hand's not cousin it, but like it still needs
cousin.
If the hand were really disembodied, then it would need a place.
Thing. The hairy
one. No, but I'm saying, even though you're saying it doesn't need a place, the hand, right? Because it can go to its own thing, but it still doesn't need to be attached to the body, which has a place. So is it? Since it is part of the group, then it is in a place. Or?
No, what I mean to say is that the body, in order for the body to work, it has to first be stationary. You have to have a place where it's munach. And then the functions of the body, and then the body can, and then you can use your body. I don't want to be too, I don't want to get too involved in this type of thinking, but the point I'm trying to make is that a body has to be at rest. Okay? The body has to have a place. But the hand as an entity doesn't. The hand is mobile. Right? The hand doesn't have to be munach on a thing. The hand doesn't have to be resting. Your body has to be resting on the ground. Your hand isn't resting on the ground. Let's just be very simple. Your body has to be resting on the ground. You cannot avoid that. There's no way to avoid your body resting on the ground. Right? You can stand on your tippy toes, but your body is still resting on the ground. Okay?
So when you're saying resting on the ground, you don't mean in the sense of munach, because a moving body
I don't mean...
All right, fine.
Well, no. All right. The body intrinsically has to take up space on the ground. But the arm doesn't take up space on the ground. Maybe that's a simpler way to look at it. The body has to take up space on the ground. The arm doesn't... The hand doesn't take up space on the ground. Let me just try to get to the idea. Okay. So what Rashi is saying is like this. That when the hand is in a separate rishus from the body, things on the body are always considered munach, because since the body intrinsically has to have a makom, the objects then will relate to the makom through the body, right? Since the body by definition has makom, the body by definition is related to the karka, then the objects will be related to the karka through it. Okay, but when the hand, like you were saying, when the hand is functioning in a separate rishus, then we can look at the hand separately. Now the hand as an entity doesn't intrinsically relate to any karka. The hand never relates to karka. That's not part of its definition. It's not. It doesn't need karka for it to work. Okay, you can do the same writing while you're falling through space, but you're not going to be able to right. But the hand, the function of the hand is not an idea that relates to the karka. It doesn't first have to be on the ground, and then you can say do things with your hand, right? So when your hand is in a separate rishus, I'm not answering this question fully, but for some, at that point we look at the hand as a separate entity. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's just accept that for a moment. We looked at the hand as a separate entity. Now that entity doesn't relate to karka. Okay, that's the problem. That's the problem. When the hand is together with the body, then it will relate to karka through the body. As long as you can consider the hand as a part of the guf does have a relationship to karka. But when we look at the hand separate, it doesn't. And that's the ritva suffix.
Yeah.
What if you artificially associate the hand with the karka? That's the ritva suffix. Saying since this is really an idea that the hand as a hand is mufka from makom, he's not even sure if you put it on the ground. Does Rashi mean to say because it's not literally on the ground? He's misupik what Rashi means, that the hand is not munach on the karka. Does he mean it's not literally on the ground? Does he mean it's just mufka from the idea of makom? And therefore, even if you put the hand on the floor, it wouldn't be hanacha. Why? Because there's no tsiruf between the object and the karka. There's no true tsiruf. There has to be a functional tsiruf. There has to be a functional tsiruf to the karka, not just a physical tsiruf, right? And since the hand doesn't get its function from the karka, then even though it's resting on the ground, the object will not be considered on the karka. Right? And maybe that's part of the answer why when the hand is separate from the body, it's different. Because now it's purely the function. Now you can't consider it. Now it's just like purely it's functioning. It's in its functional mode, intrinsically. It's considered functioning in a different... In other words, if it's in a different rishus, the body can't be is not in two rishus. Okay? But it means there's the guf, and then there's a certain function of the guf. The guf is here, but... No, since it's in a different rishus, it's not considered functioning for the body anymore. I don't know. I have to think about it a little more. But the point I'm trying to make is that Rashi's idea of a tsiruf to the karka, Rashi's idea of the object in the makom, is through the object's own tziruf to the makom. Right? That's the guf. The guf has the tziruf to the makom through its function. But the yad doesn't. And that's why when the yad is in the other rishus, it's not shayach to the makom. It's not shayach to the makom. The rivet's only question is, can you artificially create it? Can it be artificially created if the hand is really on the ground? Right? So if we could just sum it up. So in other words, so Tosus is learning that the hand, Tosus is learning to be, what I'm saying is it comes really down to a question of how the object is considered munach in the rishus. According to Tosfos, as long as the thing that it's on is considered in its place, it doesn't have to have a physical connection to the ground. Right? The only problem is the hand is considered out of its place when it's in another rishus. But there's no need. The hand is like a separate entity. It's like a different kind of an entity. And Tosfos agrees it doesn't relate to makom. So there's no need to relate it through any... In other words, they're both agreeing with this idea that the hand is a different kind of a thing. You understand? But Tosfos holds, therefore, that is its relationship to the rishus harabim or the rishus yachid. As long as it's here in a permanent sense, you can, it's fully here. It doesn't get any more in this rishus or any less in the rishus. Putting it on the ground is not going to make it more in the rishus or less in the rishus. So the yad as a yad is completely in the rishus to the fullest extent possible. So as long as that's true, everything in the yad will relate to this rishus too. You understand? Mm-hmm. But Rashi holds no. Rashi holds no. That might be true about a yad, but the object has to be considered munach on the karka, and therefore it has to have a real tziruf to the karka itself. Not enough to say that the object is in a thing that is in this rishus. In other words, the hand presents a strange phenomenon where the thing that the object is in the rishus, but in a different way than the object is normally in the rishus. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Normally an object is in the rishus because it's munach in the karka. But since the hand is not shayach to the karka, right, that's the question. That's really the question from Rashi and Tosfos. Since the hand is not shayach to the karka, it doesn't relate to the karka in the same way an inanimate body does. Right? It doesn't relate to the karka in the same way. Can you relate an inanimate object to the karka through the yad? In the way that the yad relates to the karka?
I mean, in the way that the yad relates to the karka.
Means they're not physically on the ground.
According to the Tzad and Rashi, that it wouldn't matter even if the yad was physically on the ground.
Right.
Does that mean to say that if I'm standing in Rishus Rabban and I take something and put it into Rishus Yachid onto the ground?
Once again, if I'm standing where? In Rishus Rabban.
And I have something in my hand. I put my hand into the Rishus Yachid.
And rest your hand on the ground?
Yeah,
it'd be the same question.
I didn't do anything then, according to that Tzad. I didn't do a Hanacha. I did not cure Rishus Rabban, but I never did a Hanacha.
Right.
Right?
That's correct. And that's why Rashi holds... Well,
except according to the Ritva. The
suffix. That's
yeah,
the point suffix. Of the suffix. Let me just think for one more second. There's one problem I still have a hard time answering. Hold on. See, it seems also, maybe, that's why Rashi always insists that he puts it down on the ground. Because he's saying as long as the hand is functioning, right, it's not related to the karka. Whereas Tosfos would hold, you don't have to put it on the ground. Because as long as the hand comes home, it's enough.
So according to that, but if he was loaded up, he could
then
walk
he would
outside
stop.
And just stop.
That's right.
And that would be
that's right, because now
the
he's going through the goof. Correct.
you're saying that the yad is definitively.
When the yad detached. Is a functional entity, when the yad is a. But the Baal HaBayis holding is okay because he's not using the yad as a functional entity. But once he's using the yad as a functional entity to remove the object from one rishus to the next, it has to be put down now.
So why isn't the Baal HaBayis using it as a functional entity?
Vis-a-vis the ani, it's just his goof. The ani, to the ani, it's nothing. To the ani, it's just a piece of.
We're not talking about the ani. We want to know if it's munach right now. Forgetting the ani is being considered munach.
It's a good question. I mean, I would say it's a good question. It's a good question. It's a good question. Requires a little thought. I mean, can you say that it's different things to different people? I don't know. I think about that. I mean, to the ani, it's just something that's keeping it above ground, and that it needs the body for. So then you can't. In other words, in terms of what it's being used for, with regard to the ani, it's just something that's holding it off the ground. Right. There's no difference. It's not any quality of the. It is the quality of the hand in terms of makom dalad. I have to think about it. I mean, unless Rashi, it's hard to know. Is Rashi putting that in the Mishnah? Why does Rashi say that in the Mishnah? That he puts it down. Which cases does he say?
It's on the regular.
On the cases of the Chiyuv Chatos, right?
Yeah.
And according to Tosfos, he wouldn't have to put it down. He actually says he puts it down, right? Not like a hanocha, not like, he doesn't say it's a hanocha,
right?
He says v'himicha b'rishus harabim. I mean, unless you're going to say, he just means that's halachically considered a hanocha. I mean, you could learn that way.
Right.
Could learn, he doesn't mean you physically put it down. He just means, it doesn't sound that way. It's mashma that he's describing the physical action. Because before, when he describes it halachically, he just says, the Ovid Le Akira versus Harab Vanacha versus Yachid. But when he's describing it, he says, Osha Notal Misocha Vahotzi Achefetz, Vihiniach versus Rab. I mean, you could say he just means stopping his Anacha. It's hard to prove from this Rashi what he means. Right? Is there any way to prove it? I don't know if you can really prove it from this Rashi. If he means that the guy actually has to put it down. Does it say karka? Did somebody say that?
No, I heard it.
Right. If it said karka, then you would have proved it. So you can't prove it. Maybe he doesn't know the way. Maybe he doesn't give you Tosus. Right.
It's easier to say. It doesn't make any sense to find out what we're saying now.
True, it'll be hard. It'll be very hard. Okay, so we'll do the next little piece, right? So let's finish it up.